but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen.
Let's remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer. We're happy to have Brother Gene Rice back with us this morning. Brother Gene, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated, and good morning to all of you. Good to see you today. This is the last Sunday in April. My, time is passing by so fast, isn't it? Next Sunday, it's going to be May. What have we got in May? Is there a Mother's Day in May?
Yes.
There is. On the 5th. On the 5th? That's the first Sunday in May. That next Sunday? Second Sunday. May the 5th? 10th. Okay. Got it. Yeah, 10. All right. Hope you had a good week. And has anyone, I think there's a list in here of birthdays. We haven't sung happy birthday to anybody this month, and we've got a, looks like about a dozen.
Huh?
Did we? All right. Who's got a birthday today? Yesterday was Karen's birthday. 22. 25? No, that's the date. She's got a 25 out there by her name. All right. And somebody's got a anniversary, a 29th anniversary. It's got a 29 there by it. 29? You and Betsy have been married 29 years?
Yeah, right.
You 29 and her 29. There you go. Introduce your guests to us, Brother Sam.
Okay, we don't get those guests around here very often. We have
Amen. Well, that's a girls basketball team. He told me he came out to see Ruthie.
Yeah, right. That too.
All right. And did you notice that Nancy is back with us again? I've been looking at that wooden pew till so long, and now then she's back sitting there. Good to have you here. And Joe's here. You doing okay? Are you sure? All right. Yeah. Good to see you guys. All of you, we're glad you came today. And we're going to have a good day in the Lord. And we're going to start it off with a scripture reading. And then after the scripture reading, we're going to have a men's choir. Won't that be nice? It's our day to sing again. Come on up. Share God's word with us.
Thank you, Pastor. This morning we will read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defensed city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is the trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, and as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Isaiah chapter 25.
Amen. Thank you. Better stay up here,
we're going to sing. The choir, men's choir, please come.
to the back.
It's on.
Now we got it.
Okay, if you would turn over to page 439. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trust in Him where'er befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine.
While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him, whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear. Praying if the path direct. If in danger for Him call. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him, whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last. Trusting Him till earth be past. Till I hear His final call. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him, whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all.
If you would all rise, we're going to turn over to, see, 633 for our offering hymn. Would you all rise, please?
Redeem my heart, let not pay. A place it will not take away. Through the trials of life, so surround like a dark. There's a peace there that to me. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely. Whispers all so kind. I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. All the world seemed to sing of a Savior and King. When peace sweetly came to my heart, troubles all fled away. And my night turned to day. Blessed Jesus, how glorious Thou art. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely. Whispers all so kind. I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. This treasure I have in a temple of clay. While here on this footstool I roam. But He's coming to take me some glorious day. over there to my heavenly home. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind. I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. Amen.
Brother Bob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. That's for you, Nancy. No problem. Brother Johnny, do you have a song for us this morning?
Good morning, everyone. You know, Pastor, do you remember some years ago when they had this commercial on TV saying, when E.F. Hutton speaks, you listen? Well, I didn't pay attention to that, amen? No, no. But you know what? That evening, November 24, 1985, my Jesus spoke to my heart.
Amen.
I paid attention at that time. Amen.
Amen.
And this, because there was never a man spake like this man. Jesus went into the temple when he was only 12. His words all the elders, as his wisdom they beheld, said the multitude that followed to hear the man from Galilee. Never a man spake like this man, he who said, come follow me. Never a man spake like this man, the glorious King of Kings. He spoke to my troubled soul, and now my heart sings. He has promised in his holy word that someday his face I'll see. Never a man spake like this man, he who said, come follow me. He calmed the troubled waters with a few words from his lips. The lame walked, the dumb talked, when he said to them, be healed. And Lazarus came forth from the grave when he heard his master speak. And never a man spake like this man, he who said, come follow me. Now never a man spake like this man, the glorious King of Kings. For he spoke to my troubled soul, and now my heart sees. He has promised in his holy word that someday his face I'll see. Never a man spake like this man, he who said, come follow me. Now never a man spake like this man, he who said, come follow me. Amen. When he spoke, I listened, Pastor. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Remember, our evening service is tonight at 6 o'clock. Wednesday evening, our Bible study, also at 6. That's our advertisements. This morning, I'm taking a text from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, and verse 7. This scripture says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's the difference. The other day we received a receipt in the mail from John Gardner. John works for the Amazing Grace Mission out of Tennessee. And this receipt was for a donation that we had sent. We support his ministry. And included in that envelope with the receipt was a gospel tract, one that they publish and distribute, and it's entitled, Three Things God Has Never Seen. Well, that got my attention. What three things has God never seen? So I turned in there and began to read it, and I was amazed. It just grabbed my attention because I thought that Almighty God, the Creator, He created all things, He sustains all things, He upholds all things by the word of His power, and I thought that He had seen and does see everything that there is to see. So I read this tract with interest, hoping to learn something. And the message that I got from it gripped my soul, and I said, I've got to share this. So I began developing some thoughts around the theme of three things that God has never seen. I want to share them with you. The first one is this. God has never seen a person who has not sinned. Think of that. When I read that, I said, you're right. You're right, John. And then I thought of one possible exception. What about Jesus? God's only begotten Son. He was perfect in every way. He never spoke a word that was wrong. He never performed an act that was wrong. Everything he did was by the book, so to speak. But then I got to thinking, even Jesus was made to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin for us. He took all of our sins upon himself and went to Calvary and paid the price for our redemption. In fact, he died for the sins of every man of all time. He died for the sins of the entire world, and yet he himself never sinned. And then I got to thinking about God. I thought of the loving care that he must have given to the creation of Adam, the first man. I would have liked to have been there looking over God's shoulder when he made man. Everything else he created, he just spoke, and there they were. Everything was full grown, perfect. He just spoke it into existence and it came into being. But when he decided to make man, he's going to make man in his own image, after his own likeness. And he's going to make him with his fingers, with his hands. He's going to make him out of something that has prior existence, namely dirt. And so God, with his divine hands, forms man's body from the dust of the earth. And there was not a grain of sand or a speck of dust that was wasted. God used it in forming man. He spent a lot of time on every detail when he was making man in his likeness. Think how complex our human bodies are. And God doesn't have a blueprint out here for it. He's making man in his own, maybe he had a mirror out here that he would look at, you know, and see a reflection of himself, and he'd say, all right, I've got to put that on him. And so God made him. He made, think of the intricacies of the heart and the lungs and the kidneys and the stomach and the brain. My, think of that, how complex all this is. And he's got to make it all work together. He's got to synchronize all of these parts as he's making man out of the dust of the earth. And when God finishes with him, he looks at him, and then he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul in the likeness of God. My. He looked just like God in every way. I have an idea that God told him. He says, Adam, you stay the way you are right now. Don't you change. And Adam, don't ever, ever eat of that forbidden fruit. You can eat of the fruit of every tree in this beautiful Garden of Eden. But don't eat the fruit of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He said, I want you to live forever the way that you are right now. But you know something? Adam disobeyed God, didn't he? One single act of disobedience brought death and all its side effects into the world. Pain, sorrow, tears, heartaches, grief, strife, war, fighting, bloodshed, violence, rape, murder, thefts, whatever you name, all of this meanness came into the world because of sin. Everything that is evil, everything that is harmful to mankind came with death, and Adam died. Adam did not physically die that day, but spiritually he did. He lived for many years, but he lived in trespasses and in sins. And here's the catch. You and I were not there. We didn't have anything to do with it. But because of Adam's transgression, down through the years of time, every human being that's born into this world has inherited that sinful nature. You and me and everyone, regardless of race, creed, or color, we are sinners. Not because of what we do or who we are, but because of what we are. It's not what we do that makes us sinners. What we do proves that we are sinners. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We sin because we are sinners. Paul will say, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. We do what we do because we are sinners. Sin dwells in us. Now listen. I love little babies. And it's hard to hold that newborn baby so fresh from God. You look at its innocence and you say, my, you are a pretty little sinner. And then you duck because that mother is taking a swing at you. But it's the truth. Because when that beautiful little child grows up and becomes like a teenager, that sin nature that's in that child comes alive. It shows itself. He starts smoking cigarettes, shooting dope, drinks whiskey, begins to rob and steal to support his sinful habits. He curses and he fights and he indulges in violent behavior. And the first thing you know, he's arrested and he's penned up in jail as punishment for his evil deeds and to protect society from his unseemly behavior. I've seen it happen, and so have you. And when he dies, his immortal soul goes down into everlasting punishment in the eternal lake of fire and brimstone. Better for that man had he never been born. God has never seen a man who has not sinned. Such were you and I before we got acquainted with that man of Calvary. Let's move on to point number two. God has never seen a sinner that he does not love. To my shame, I must admit that I've seen people I don't love. To you and me, the way we look at it, if a person is a good person, we can love them, but if they're a bad person, we don't love them. And we base it on what they do, not what they are. It's often hard for us to separate the sinner from his sin. But we all know what it is to love somebody and hate what they're doing. But how can you love a person and hate what they do? God can. You know the word justified, it's a scriptural word. A definition I learned of justified a long time ago is just as if I had never sinned. When God looks at me, he looks at me through the veil of Christ's blood, and he sees me as perfect. You can't see it, but God can. And that's after we get saved. So one day God comes down into the Garden of Eden. It's evening time. He comes down to have fellowship with and to visit with Adam and Eve. He looks around and he can't find them. So he went out looking for them. With what tone of voice do you suppose God inflected in the words, "Where art thou?" when he was looking for Adam and Eve? Like you're supposed to be in the house doing your homework and you're out playing in the yard, something like that, and your mother steps to the door and she says in such a sweet voice, "Where art thou?" Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? "Where are you? Get yourself in here. Study your lessons. Do your homework." You can picture God. He's looking for Adam and Eve. He walks by a hickory tree, breaks off a branch, strips the leaves off of it. Adam, where art thou? You come out of those bushes right now. I'm going to wear you out. I don't think so. I think that when God looked for Adam, he had tears in his voice. When he said, Adam, where art thou? I don't think it was a voice of anger and rage. I believe there was love and compassion. And those words came from a broken, bleeding heart of God. His voice was full of concern, full of sympathy and tears. Think about this when you read your Bible. You'll be reading pretty soon over there in John chapter 3. How do you think John 3:16 sounded when Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you think the voice of Jesus sounded? You've read it time after time in the Bible, but do you read it and hear as you read, as Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Try it sometime. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us while we were yet sinners. And in his dying, he paid the wages of sin, which is death, with his death. Since the price of salvation's been paid, we've been bought and paid for. Salvation is free now. And eternal life becomes a gift to be received. And all we have to do is to accept it and it becomes ours. Think of that. Let's move on. God has never seen a sinner that he cannot save. There are some people who think that they're too sorry, too low down. They're unworthy to be saved. They may think that they're so bad that they've crossed the line. And by their deeds and their activities, they have built a wall. They have rendered themselves ineligible for salvation. But that's not so, because actually none of us deserve to be saved. God's grace is sufficient. Take the Apostle Paul, for instance. when he was Saul of Tarsus, he was not a very nice guy. You read about him. He was as heartless as the Muslims that are over there in that country now. He got a thrill out of persecuting Christians, even murdering them. He thought he was doing God a favor. Look at the lack of compassion that he had as he watched Stephen being stoned to death, and he was consenting to his death, holding the coats of those that were throwing rocks at Stephen, as Stephen was down there on his knees praying to God and praying, God, forgive them. They know not what they do. Later on, when Paul realizes what he had done while he was yet a sinner, he calls himself the chiefest of sinners. He acknowledged his unworthiness. There's a verse of scripture over in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on him? Romans 10, 9, when you read it, make it personal. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what God says. That's his way. It's personal. It's individual. So originally, we're lost. Originally, we're sinners. How do I get rid of my sin? Then the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit makes me willing to repent of my sins, to confess it, and to forsake it. And so I do. And when I confess my sins, I've done my part. He is faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's what he says in his word. That's his part. So now I've been cleaned up. I've been forgiven. My sins have been washed away. They've been blotted out, never to be remembered against me anymore. No more a sinner. Now a saint. Because of Calvary. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son. We believe that he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. We accept him as our personal Savior. We accept by faith the salvation called everlasting life that he offers us so freely and without price. We believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead the third day and that he ascended back to heaven where he serves as our intercessor, as our great high priest in the presence of God, our advocate with God the Father. He seals us until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit, who bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And he dwells with us continually. And when we die physically, our soul and our spirit go immediately to heaven into the presence of God, where we will rest and wait for the first resurrection. On the other hand, when the unbeliever dies without Christ, dies in his sins, his soul goes immediately to hell, where he will wait for his resurrection, which is 1,007 years after mine. Then after his resurrection, he will die a second time. And at this death, his soul goes into the lake of fire. And there will be no resurrection for those who die the second death. Think about that. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. There may be one here this morning that's not saved. And to you, I would offer this plea. Please, please come to Christ. Please accept Him. Heavenly Father, we bow in Your presence to thank You for Your presence with us today. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts through the Word of God. Take what we've said today, Lord, and help us to apply those words to our individual lives. Lord, let each person here today, 100% of us, be safe and sure and saved. Let us know that we've been born again. Give us that assurance of Your Holy Spirit. And if there's one here today that does not have that assurance, Lord, help them. Persuade them to come, to open their heart's door, and let Jesus come in. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear My voice and will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with Me." So, Lord, give us listening ears and let us hear the knock on our heart's door today. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
477.
We usually just have one verse of invitation. Will you come? Will you come today? Will you come? Thank you for coming today. I appreciate your presence. And for me, it's always a joy to share the Word of God with you. I don't know what you get out of it, but I get a great thrill out of sharing God's Word. And I can tell by the attention that you give that it's received by you. And I thank God for you. As we bow in prayer to be dismissed, Brother Sam Burton, would you lead us, please, in our benediction?
Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for this word from Your word. We thank You, Lord, that though we have sinned, yet we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your compassion. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross to save us from our sins. So, Lord, we just commit us to You, each one, and we read, Lord, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great